Oh, I'm just glad he still talks to me. I mean, you know, first he's on this hour's 22 minutes. I think he's a big star. He's everyone loves Mark Critch. Then he writes a book, and then he writes a second book. Oh, man. What did you do in the pandemic? I don't know. I did some push-ups. I wrote a best-selling book, son of, you know, an embarrassment of Critch, just to follow up my son of a Critch book. And I'm also making a movie about my life. And, oh, yeah, I've got married to a beautiful woman. Oh, you know her. She's incredible. She's running my province. Oh, I'm just Mark Critch.
Hey!
God, you're good.
Thanks, buddy.
You're like the greatest. God. Like you have, I mean, I tell you. You what a pandemic you've had.
I tell you, I pandemic with the best of them. When you're lazy, when you're a lazy person, when you're not physically active like you are, Evan, when, you know, a pandemic comes along and you really know how to do it. You know, I'm used to being on the couch. So for me, I thrive.
This is what pisses me off about you. Here's what's going to happen, folks. Mark Critch, who you know, he's written this new book, An Embarrassment of Critch's Immature Stories from My Growing Up Life, which is, you know, it's hilarious. We'll get to it in a minute. And he says, I don't do physical exercise. That's why I got to write books. Then I got to get a show produced about my life. But here's what's going to happen. Next year, he's going to do some topless thing, and he's going to have abs. He's going to say, oh, but I was lying the whole time. I was pumping iron. I'm ripped. And he's going to look like, you know, Ryan Reynolds or something.
I guarantee you that is not going to happen.
I know it's going to happen.
There.
Congratulations on the new book, Critch.
Thank you, sir. I much appreciate it. It's been an interesting little adventure, and it's been great. It's been a bit weird this time, of course, because normally you have the big, you know, the book readings and the book signings and stuff. But so you don't get that to meet people face to face unless you run into them on the street or something. But people seem to be liking it so far, from what I can see on Instagram and Twitter.
In the gram. Let me go, like, I've known, now here, full disclosure, I've known Mark Critch for a long time, and I love him, so it's full disclosure. But I'm going to tell you some things I didn't know and favorite parts of the book. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
How did Mark Critch become famous? He wants to be an actor. He tells his parents, his dad's like, no, maybe you should get a real job. But then he realized he wants to do sketch comedy. He meets Rick Mercer, who's stars on This Hour's 22 Minutes. And 6 years later, Rick is leaving This Hour's 22 Minutes, and everyone's looking for a replacement. Here's one of my favorite parts of the book. I did not know this. A rumor in the media is spread that Mark Critch is being considered this comedian. Now, please tell the story. Who is spreading the rumor to try to basically till the garden to get his son a job? I love this.
Well, yeah, I started seeing in the paper, like, you know, and Mark Critch is... A Newfoundland comedian, Mark Critch, is rumored to replace Rick Mercer. I'm like, what? And then in another, you know, radio show, Mark Critch I got a call from his radio station saying, like, hey, we hear that you're going to replace Rick Mercer. I'm like, no, I'm not going to. What are you talking about? I mean, I they asked me to audition, but I'm not going to. You're going to ruin it for me. What are you doing? And I said, can I ask you, where did you hear this? I'm like, well, we have a good source. I'm like, what's your source? I was like, well, your father called. And I said, what? So I go to see my dad. I confront him, and I'm like, "Why are you telling the media I'm going to replace Rick Mercer?" He goes, "Well, if you print it, it ends up true. I mean, you know, they'll see that and they'll think that that's what the people want, and they'll pick you." And I'm like, "Dad, stop!"
So, now, your dad was a newsman, so he knew a thing or two around the media. But your dad is quietly planting a completely fake. Now you are being auditioned. There's like Avon Crawford and Sean McJumberth. Some great comedians are also being. But your dad is literally. Basically planting fake rumors in the media. I could not love your father more at that moment. That is, were you like, Dad, don't, but also kind of like, keep doing that, Dad, that's okay.
Well, I was mortified, you know. I had a Mark Critch lobbyist working for me. And the
Unregistered.
Unregistered. I thought, well, they're going to think I'm crazy, right? They're going to go, you know, they're going to pick up a paper or something. Go like, what the hell? Who's saying? It must be the guy saying that because we're not planning. So I was very worried about that. But I didn't get the job. Of course, Colin Mochrie got the job. And none of us auditioned saw that coming. But then I did get hired as a writer. And then I worked my way on the air within the first year. And then that was it.
Yeah. And Mochrie's not that funny.
Mockery's brilliant.
I love Colin Mockery. I'm kidding. I would only say now, but the funny thing is,
Colin's too nice for political satire because he's not mean at all. He's funny enough that he doesn't have to be mean. whereas I need to make fun of people.
Well, let's talk about that. But Colin Mochrie, who of course went on to be famous for many things, including Whose Line Is It Anyway? But I think the other thing that people don't know about you, because of your youthful disposition and your mischievous immaturity, is that, you know, by the time you were just making it on This Hour, like you were you had a kid, right? Like,
yeah,
you were in it. Like, life was happening to Mark Critch.
Yeah, I was like 24, I think, when I had Jacob, so that kind of, when you find yourself a broke comedian in St. John's, Newfoundland, trying to hobble together gigs, and then you throw a baby into the mix, all of a sudden you get very serious about finding work, you know?
But so, I like that thought when you're like, I'm a broke comedian, I have no prospects, I'm from St. John's, I think my plan should be to procreate immediately. Like, let's just get this going.
Well, I saw a lot of busy years coming, and I thought, well, if I don't do this now, I'm never going to have the time. So, yes, it was all planned, of course. But, that kind of a thing happening, that when you're young and you're not ready, it kind of did, though, give me the kick in the ass I kind of needed to get going, you know. All of a sudden, you start making calls and putting up shows and trying to write things and whatnot, and I started writing a column for a local paper and doing commentaries on the local CBC radio morning show about the news and doing a touring political sketch comedy show. So really that's when I kind of got started getting serious about political comedy, because you could get paid to do that. So I was like, oh, I'm very interested in politics now.
Well, and 22 minutes really was a kind of, you know, you're sailing on the sea of dreams. You don't know it when you're young. It's just foggy. There's no map. And then you see, oh, my God, there's land there. You can actually make a living doing this. You know, Rick Mercer's done it. I can do it. And that map, that land, that kind of lighthouse of opportunity is meaningful and material.
Oh, very much so. And, you know, I think Newfoundland and Labrador entertainers who make it on the mainland have, you know, always thrown a line back over their shoulder to haul some more people up to get some work, you know. And having Mary Walsh and Kathy and Greg Toomey and Rick being so successful on the network and doing such interesting stuff, and then to get a chance to write for them and then actually to join the cast was just fantastic. It was, I mean, I remember watching in the Ship Inn, local pub in St. John's, the first episode of 22 Minutes. And I was just a young guy, and I remember the bar hushing, and everybody was gathered to watch it. And it was like it was kind of like a moon landing in some ways for us, you know, for other entertainers and comedians. Yeah. These guys had done it. They were on the main network. And it was amazing to see. And, you know, then they kept, you know, making headlines and mocking headlines. So it was definitely, you know, a place I wanted to get to, but never thought I would. I just thought, oh, well, that's great for them. Okay, cool. Now I got to find my own way. But they were always great and gracious to give a hand up.
Yeah, they were. And I mean, Codco, of course, it had been there, but not on the level of 22 Minutes. And then kind of the home crowd makes good. I'm speaking to Mark Critch. An embarrassment of Critch's immature stories from my growing up life. And when he says immature, I will say this: my son, who Mark knows, because Mark, we visited Mark in St. John's a couple of years back, and I was talking about the book over the weekend with my son. He's like, "Mark's got kids." He's like, "He's so young." I'm like, "No, he's so immature." I'm like, "No, his kids are growing up. He did a great job." My son's like, "God, it's bewildering." You see, like, because, you know, at 14, my son's like, "He's just like me," right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, you know, and I'm glad. I'm glad that your son would think of me as a peer as opposed to the two of us as peers. That's good. I'm doing my job as a clown.
Okay, when we come back, part of the great joy of this book is the encounters that Mark has had with every prime minister: Pamela Anderson, Randy Quaid, maybe my favorite bra, Dog the Bounty Hunter, who follows up with a late night call. But we'll talk about what it's like. Do you charm politicians? Do you piss them off? Are you worried about getting co-opted by them? And the role of being subversive in political comedy. The great Mark Critch stays on the program with us. Stick around. Lots more to come. Welcome back to the show. What a delight to have our friend Mark Critch, the author of a new book, An Embarrassment of Critch's Immature Stories from My Growing Up Life. on the program. It's a great book. This gave me great joy over a weekend when I needed some joy. Critchie, when did you realize that political comedy was your thing?
I think, you know, it's always been a place where I grew up in St. John's, Newfoundland. It's always been a place where you talk about the headlines over dinner, you make fun of people, the politicians were all such big figures, you know, your John Crosbys and whatnot, and such big characters. So it was fun to talk about politics, grew up around it. And even when I first rented a theater when I was 15 with some friends, we did sketch comedy. We did, you know, Clyde Wells sketches and stuff about Beach Lake and things, like, you know, which we were a bit right. above our understanding. So it's always been something. And then right out of school, I toured with a local sketch comedy troupe called Review, and we would do a year of political headlines from the province. So it was always something that fascinated for me. It's always been my sports, I guess. You know, some people watch hockey, and I'll watch CPAC.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, you've mocked everybody. Harper, Ignatieff, Layton, Trudeau, and we'll get to that. What politician had the best comedic timing, and who hated it the most? Who was like, I cannot stand. I know I got to do it because I'll look too bad if 22 minutes and Critch gets in my face. Who did you love the most?
Well, Danny Williams, the Premier of Newfoundland, he was always willing to do anything. And so you'd go up to him and say, hey, I want you to do this sketch where basically you're a complete madman and you're developing a nuke and you're going to take out the rest of the country if they don't, you know, give you what you want. And you'd be like, yeah, okay, sure. And he'd just do it and he'd be great. It was like having a puppet. And he was very confident in who he was. And those people who are the personalities who are quite confident in who they are, they're fantastic, you know. And Kretchen, of course, didn't care, always wanted to choke you during the interview, but yeah, he was always willing to have some fun. But Mr. Harper, when I first interviewed him when he was in opposition, you know, he'd kind of want to get on there, or he'd suggest something maybe, or I'd be scrumming somebody else, and he'd come up and go, hey, do you have a hankering to do an interview with me? And be like, oh, okay. And we didn't really use him that much. But once he became prime minister, it became very much a situation of, you know, get on the ground, stay away, secure the perimeter, you're not in here. And he just hated it and hated the show.
Hilarious.
And the network. And so he was a big, big change.
I did like when you smoked a joint in front of Trudeau, and he was always ready to play along. You'd box them. Great. But when you brought a joint into Parliament and lit it up when he was legalizing pot, that actually genuinely bugged him.
He got very mad. I mean, the whole team was kind of pissed off because they're kind of like, the thing was, you came to my office with this joint. And I thought, well, I want to do the interview in the scrum. You guys invited me to your office, so that's on you. But I didn't think it would be that big a thing. But I think at that time, everyone was, you know, kind of they're getting a bit of heat about legalization and wanting to do it. And it was over. It was all over the media. And I think it was maybe something they're trying to get away from a little bit. And they thought, okay, this is going to be a thing now.
Right.
And he really didn't like that at all. And then they wouldn't do the show for a long time.
Which is hilarious.
He ran, but then everything was fine again. So a couple of, but for the most part, he's been absolutely great. And especially over the last few years, you know, he's kind of treats it as something he feels he should do, it almost seems like. So that's a big difference from people in the past.
I got a little taste, speaking of Mark Critch, I got a little taste of your life. Years ago, you invited me to join you on this hour's 22-minute yes. shoot on Parliament Hill. You played Santa Claus. Stephen Harper was yeah. the prime minister. And you said, hey, Evan, would you be my elf? And I was hosting Power and Politics at the time. And you said, you be my elf. And then we're trying to get into Harper, Layton, and Ignatieff. Harper shut us down. You said, Harper will not do this. But mm-hmm. but you dressed up as Santa. You had Ignatieff sitting on your knee. He was so awkward. I was just laughing. I was dressed up in this giant elf suit. And I remember I could not stop. I was supposed to try to act. I just could not stop laughing. And like, Jack Layton loved it. He pulled out like a bottle of scotch or something. But
yeah,
you could get these guys to do anything.
Yeah, Gilles Duceppe as well.
Gilles Duceppe.
He sat out and, you know, and talked about, I said, you know, for Christmas, I guess you'd like to be the king of your own nation. He's like, well, not the king, but I think I would like it. I'm like, that's not a serious question, Gilles.
Can I just say, like, when we got up to Gilles Duceppe's office, and Stephen Harper, folks, Gilles Duceppe, the head of the block, had put him in the worst office in Parliament, where there was the windows were broken. Parliament's renovated, and it was freezing cold. And you remember we got up there? He's like, "This office is terrible. Like, it's so cold." Yeah. And he took us to the window. He's like, "I can't even stay here." And Harper had literally put this guy in the freezer.
Yeah, in the worst place, the windows were falling apart. And because of that piece, I then took Mike Holmes, the great renovation guru, through Parliament Hill, and I did a Holmes on Holmes on the Parliament buildings, and he was going through finding asbestos and lead paint and everything, and the elevator hadn't been inspected. He was shocked. But yeah, so one thing leads to another, but I had to thank Jill for that.
That was a joy. Do you ever get worried about getting co-opted? They're like, "Oh, this is great. I'm flagging in the polls. People don't like me. I'll just do something with Mark Critch and charm them because the political edges are off. Like, you know, it's not the Daily Show where I'm going to get skewered. I'm going to be kind of charmed." Do you worry about that?
A little bit at times, you know, and I think sometimes when I think about that, sometimes that's when I'll go too far, and that's when I oftentimes get myself in trouble. I remember, you know, a couple of Trudeau interviews had gone well. Then there was one part of one which we didn't air after, and he was prime minister, and he'd been traveling after the Aga Khan thing, and people like, "You can't find him. He's traveling so much." I tried to put a cat bell around his neck on a cat collar.
Yeah, I remember that.
Find him, and he was not happy about that. And then we kind of get into this little wrestling match. I'm going, okay, what am I doing? Maybe I'm trying too hard here. So that does, you know, weigh on you. But for the most part, I mean, they're there, they come on, they get their attention, but they also take their lumps, you know, you to get.
Although there is this second, and you talk about this, Mark Critch, in your new book, that people think, "Oh, you're a CBC, you're a lefty, and you make fun of conservatives more." And of course, you had that incident where you mocked Stephen Harper during the storming of Parliament Hill in the closet, which you apologize for. But what do you say to critics say, "Oh, you're essentially a lefty and you are harder on conservatives"? What's the response to that?
Some of my favorite people to have on the show are conservatives. Peter McKay, whenever he came on, was fantastic and was probably the guy who took it the best and would go, "Okay, give it to me." Michelle Rempel Garner is a great guest on the show. I'd have her on every week. She is not afraid to give as good as she can, as she gets, and she's happy to get it. And I mean, but I every week last year we asked Erin O'Toole to come on every single week. I would have loved to have him on. They always said they didn't have time during the last election.
Crazy.
Constantly asked. We had all the other party leaders. So, I mean, I did a little monologue asking, are the conservatives afraid of the CBC after a few things that happened in the media, kind of jokingly. And then he tweeted at me, and Laureen Harper tweeted at me angrily, but he wouldn't come on the show still. So I would still, Mr. O'Toole, come on the show. It's not
come
that
on.
Bad. Everybody else has done it.
Speaking of Mark Critch, an embarrassment of Critch's immature stories from the growing. Listen to this, folks. That's his new book. His last book, Son of a Critch, is being made into a TV series about his life on CBC, where he plays his father. It's going to be brilliant. Let me just say something. You're one of the, I think, the funniest people I've ever met, the most generous people I've ever met. This book is absolutely a gem, folks. If you need a smile, Mark Critch is your best friend, and I love you, buddy.
I love you, buddy. Thank you so much.
You're just a beauty. All right, we'll talk again tomorrow. That's Mark Critch.